Welcome to the first ever side pod panel. It seems like we're coming up with all our ideas for new podcasts towards the end of the season.
That's not good, is it?
No.
We could do a better job of planning, I think.
I don't think for this one it really matters, though.
What have we got lined up then?
Well, this idea came about when we had 5 brilliant callers last week. Mm. And in the live comments, they said that they'd be good on a panel show.
Hey, they would be.
On an F1 themed panel show.
And we agreed.
And we thought, well, yeah, they would be good. So let's make one.
And this is what we have.
Yes.
This is Side Pod Panel, episode 1.
We're making it up as we go along. Obviously, that's what we do. But the basic idea is to have a guest host who picks the subjects and basically chairs the panel.
And that's my job this week.
You're taking that job on this week because obviously it's brand new.
Okay, but it will vary from episode to episode.
We'll have 2 teams of callers battling against each other. Points will be awarded for winning an argument and extra points will be awarded for humour.
Right. So we've got to be funny.
Yes.
That's the important thing.
Yeah.
And bonus points, apparently, you're going to give if the answers appeal to you.
Well, I'm in charge of the points giving, you see.
Okay.
So if someone happens to mention Frank
Montagny or
Bourdais.
Sebastian Bourdais.
Yeah. Or anyone that I might like, then you may get extra points. I mean, I'm not biased or anything like that. You know,
it's
going to be completely fair.
Never let it be said. Okay. Who have we got on the show this week then?
We have 2 teams of 3 this week. First up, Team Andrea Moda with Stephen Roy.
Hello.
Alex Andronoff.
Hello.
And Flibster.
Evening.
And the other team is Super Aguri with Scott Woodwiss.
What's up?
Gavin Brown.
Good afternoon from Denmark.
And Andy Taylor.
Hello.
Can we just give a quick sample through? We've been through all the noise, don't you? So your ping is good and bad is... There you go, right. So that's what you basically need to know. Christian is now taking a position by a desk as chief scorer. So the first round of discussion, I'm going to throw to, I'm going to go in order, I think, to start with, and then we'll mix it up in a little bit. So the first round of discussion is going to go to Mr. Stephen Roy. And the first topic of discussion is engine standardisation or homologation from the FIA, good or bad, discuss.
Definitely a bad idea. There are obviously advantages to it. If you think back to the days when we had the Cosworth engines, and it meant instead of teams having huge budgets, anyone can turn up, buy a Cosworth engine, buy a Hewland gearbox, stick it in their own design chassis and go race reasonably competitively. But, you know, that's 20 odd years ago and things have evolved since then. And you have to imagine what's going to happen if they standardise engines is all the suppliers are just going to pull out and we're going to be left with 3 or 4 technical champions.
Christine liked that one. That's very good. I think we just lost the end of you there, Stephen. But again, same question then over to Scott. See if you can beat that 1 point Stephen just picked up there.
I think it's bad as well because it's there's just no point because all you're going to do is you're probably going to drive manufacturers away. I mean, the FATF said it. Martin Whitmarsh has said it that you're probably going to see manufacturers walking away from the sport because you're standardising the engines. I put the idea forward that maybe to make it individual to the teams is to maybe give them a base unit and then say to them, okay, we'll give you a set budget. No idea how they're going to moderate that, but anyway. And then with that set budget, they're free to do whatever development they want. But obviously, if they use all that budget in the beginning of the season or they spread out over the middle of the season, then that's up to them.
Likes that one. Christine's a fan of that one. Alex, throwing back to your team, Andrea Moda, what do you think and how do you think engine standardisation may help an independent team like Williams?
Well, Williams had the Cosworth engine before and now they've moved to Toyota and it's sort of made very little difference to them, it would seem. They've basically languished at the back. That's kind of a sign that in a way... Unless you have one of the top fantastic engines, aerodynamics is still a really big important part of Formula One. And I think while engine homologation or keeping everybody with the same engine is a bad idea and it doesn't make Formula One interesting as it is now, I think there's still a lot of stuff that could be interesting about Formula One even with a standard engine.
Okay. Christine, no ping from Christine there, though. She didn't like that one. That's just charming. I guess she didn't make friends with Frank Montani. Okay, throw in another question then over to Super Aguirre. Looking at the race that we've just witnessed, what did you make of Ferrari's use of team orders today in China? And I'm going to put that question to Gavin in the Super Aguirre team.
Team orders are a funny question because although they're supposed to be outlawed, everybody knows that they're done. McLaren did it in Germany. Ferrari have done it today. And really, when you're looking at in terms of the championship, you've got to think that it would be crazy for Massa to finish third when he could have finished second and make the championship less close than it is. Yes, that's worth a point, obviously. But really, I mean, why sacrifice your own championship when your teammate, who's got no chance of winning the championship, can just sort of move out of the way and let you get the extra points? Because last year it came down to 1 point. So 1 point is 1 point. So give the guy a point by letting your way through.
Nice one. Okay. And same question then to Flipster in Andrea Moda.
Team orders. It's always happened. Everyone knows it's always happened. It's just an event a few years ago made it blatantly obvious. And then Schumacher decided to move over right at the line to give him the race back later on. That wasn't a team order. That was just him realising what a complete arse they've made of it, really.
I think Christine's crying there. Was that a cry for the word of the use, arse? He's just crying there. I'm not sure you got a point for that one there, Flipster. No, he does get a point for that. Oh, he got a point as well, but it was a point in a cry. And finally, just to get Andy's point in the team super agree on the same subject, team orders, a good thing or a bad thing, and did you think it was warranted in today's race?
Well, it is supposedly a team sport at the end of the day, but it made that obvious. It does kind of make you think whether you really want to see them racing or not. And the thing that gets me about it most is the fact that Ferrari are always going to make sure they maximise the number of points they're going to get, and they're always going to make sure that their leading driver is going to get as many points as possible. So I think it's always going to happen, even though it's outlawed.
Gotcha. Okay. And now
you forgot McLaren there, though.
Oh,
McLaren did it very obviously in Germany.
They did, and there was no comeback from that at all, was there?
No, I mean, let's be fair here. I mean, I don't want this to turn into let's bash one or the other, because they both do it, and everyone would do it.
And what did you think of BMW's doing the same thing? They did a similar thing in Canada, I'm right in saying that, didn't they? When Kubica was behind Heidfeld.
Because Kubica's the future of the team. Heidfeld's basically there to be the steady rock, and Kubica's the fast guy. He's the one that's going to win the races for BMW, not Heidfeld. Heidfeld's nowhere.
I think that's a point there, Christine. Oh, no, that was a giggle. Christine likes that. Alrighty, moving on then. We're now going to the last race of the season, and we're going to Brazil with two guys fighting for the championship. Let's throw this question to Scott. How do you think it's going to go? And what do you make of the season thus far?
First of all, Hamilton all the way. I think that... you know, while some people might say he doesn't deserve it, then at the end of the day, a champ is a champion. But one point I would like to make is that, you know, I mean, while people say he's arrogant, and that some people might say they've made out that his driver might kill someone, at the end of the day, he's a British driver. I mean, when was the last time we had a British champion? 1996. 12 years ago. I mean, come on. I don't want to slate Button off too much, but, I mean, in the past couple of years, the only closest he got to winning a championship was 2004. And he's only won one race. This time we've got a British driver. He can win regularly. He's got a chance of winning the championship. I mean, you know, if you were British, I mean, it should be like a crime or something not to support him. I mean, I know some people don't, but fair enough.
Okay. Nothing silence from Christine there on that one. I thought that might have gone into your point, but throwing the same question over to Alex then, and I might come back to Scott to get his opinions on the season this far in a minute. But Alex, your thoughts on Brazil?
Well, I'm really looking forward to it. It should be obviously it's the most exciting race now that we have left, and I'm trying to think how anybody other than Lewis can do it now. I think it's going to be, it really is only going to be through, it's Lewis to lose it, and I think he just has to keep that mind management together. You know, you have, he's been doing well all season. You know, he's been ahead of his teammate and he's been ahead of the Ferraris, I guess, at this point. And it puts me back in mind of back to 1998 Formula 3 when Frank Montagnier outpaced Sebastian Bourdais all season, then wins. And, you know, that's that sort of consistency is the kind of thing you need to be a world champion.
Did he beat a panda on the way as well?
Nice one. I like it. Alrighty. I've totally lost my thread. And who, that was Alex before he got jumped by that. Right. Okay. Excellent.
Nice work.
I love it. I didn't get back to Scott about Brazil, so I'd like to just quickly throw back to Scott. Opinions on the season thus far in as few words as possible.
Okay. I think it's been a much better season without a chance of control. It's been brilliant. why you put the time on?
Just kidding.
I'll start again. This has been great with the without the traction control, and it's been a fantastic season, lots of close races. In fact, I'd probably say this season's even as good as Frank Montagne's campaign in the Emirates Le Mans series.
This is ridiculous. That's crazy. You know she likes Bourdais as well, don't you? That's going to garner some awards.
But she likes Montagne more.
That's true. Flipster, your opinion on the season thus far for Andrea Moda?
Not the season for Andrea Moda, because it probably wasn't very good for them.
No, that was Diabolica. Sorry, for Team Andrea Moda, what's your opinion on the season we've experienced thus far?
Well, there's two sides of it. There's the FIA side, which has frankly been a shambles from the start. And then you've had the driving side, which in places has also been a complete shambles, with Hamilton driving into the back of someone in the pit lane, although then being driven into the back of himself, which probably made it up slightly, but not that much. And then you've got Massa with his events at Silverstone, where he couldn't actually keep it on the track. But so far this year.
Okay. And then just moving on then, there was no points for Flipster there, I noticed. You didn't
no,
like
there was one.
There was one, okay, good stuff.
For the FIA thing.
Let's go, right, let's move on to, back to Super Aguri, and let's pick whoever we had. Let's try Andy for this question. Force India drivers have been re-signed this weekend. Are they worth it, and could Force India have done a better job?
Well, I'm still sad that Sutil's points finish in Monaco turned out to be a did-not-finish. But I think that they deserved to get those points because that would have made a big difference to them financially. Whether they deserve the drivers they've got, yeah, I think probably they do. They've done a reasonable job. It's not been their fault that the car's broken underneath them so many occasions. So, yeah, I think they do deserve it.
And do you not think they could do better than someone else in the field they could pick? Maybe pick up Bourdais if he's exiting Toro Rosso?
You don't get any points.
But would Christine still like him if he was driving for Force India?
I'm not sure it's the car. I'm really not sure it's the car, Andy. Okay, same question to Stephen Roy then. Force India, have they made the right decision keeping their two drivers?
Well, I don't see much point in keeping Fisichella. The guy's consistent, but he's never going to be a world beater. Sutil may be something special, but we need someone there to push him to get some serious performance out of him. He needs a faster driver beside him, and not because I'm going to get points for it, but he'd be better off with Frank beside him than Fisichella. Obviously, I'd love to see Paul de Resta in the car, but it looks like he's going to GP2 this season, or next season. But I'm sure they'd be better off with Barrichello than Fisichella, because at least we know what Barrichello's pace is. Fisichella's too inconsistent to actually understand what he's capable of, or how consistently he delivers it.
Blimey, a lot of points for that score there. Christine almost surprised herself with the number of points you gave
that,
you.
That was a double point I wasn't expecting, but I'll go with that.
Okay, nah. Talking of drivers and their future then, Gavin for Super Aguri, what do you make of Alonso's future? Where do you see him going? And what do you think his season's going to hold for him next year?
What a fantastic question to ask me. I have two Spanish colleagues who absolutely adore Alonso and think Lewis Hamilton is the devil. It's funny seeing the other side of the media, by the way, because they think exactly the opposite of the English media, that one is the devil and the other is a saint. There has to be a good guy and bad guy in Formula One. Anyway, my question. Alonso should be in a Ferrari. Alonso should be Ferrari. And the simple reason is Alonso is the sort of driver that has to be the number one, and he has to have a subservient number two. And the only team that's out there that's going to do that is Ferrari, a la Michael Schumacher and Rubens Barrichello.
Oh, Christine's not liking the number one driver there. Oh, dear.
Oh, come on. Why not? Why not? He's the ultimate one-guy team. He got rid of Kovalainen on his team. He vetoed him just because he knew he'd be too good.
That's true to a point, although Kovalainen has not proved himself to be very good at all. I mean, he probably would be better than
Piquet. Yeah, but he changed him for Nelson Piquet, who's absolutely rubbish.
That was a wise move. Who would you have in Ferrari if you had Alonso there, and who would be the subservient number two?
That's a very good question.
Frank.
Frank or Sebastian Bourdais, perhaps. Come on, Christine, give us a point.
No!
Give us a point.
Subservient, you see?
Subservient.
So a driver that has to be number two, probably Jenson Button. He's done nothing for years and years. He just drives around the track.
Oh, come on.
You're just saying that because you're British. Come on. Jenson Button's rubbish. He's driven around for years doing nothing.
You're losing your point, Jack. No.
All right, well, shut up now. I can't win this one.
I like it. Oh, Alex, for Team Andrea Moda, please argue the same point if you could.
Sorry.
He's giggling.
What was the question?
Well, the original question... Actually, no, let's go with the second question, which was, who would you have, if you had Alonso as the number one in Ferrari, who would your subservient second driver be?
I think they've done quite well with Nelson Piquet Jr. This year. I think he's, he's actually not done as badly as he seemed to have been doing at the beginning of the season. He's just about kind of recovered. And I always wonder why there are some really good test drivers who don't become the second drivers. You know, they know that they are never going to win. You could get them in on a deal and get them to be your second driver. That sounds like a reasonable thing. But I don't know. I don't know who to suggest, because I don't want to suggest anybody that Christine might.
You don't want to average points.
No.
Okay. Right then. Moving.
Don't be scared of me.
Moving swiftly on. Continuing on the subject of drivers. Let's put this one to Scott in Team Supergary. Kovalainen. How's he done this year? Discuss.
If I had to sum up in three words, I'd probably say could do better. I think at the start of the season, he was okay. I mean, he made that small glitch when he hit the pit lane speed limiter button by accident when he tried to tail advisor.
At the start of the season.
But apart from that, I think that really it's sort of been a mix of ups and downs. I mean, mostly downs, because he had the share of all the bad luck at McLaren. The only luck he got was when Massa was robbed the victory three laps from the end in Hungary, and even when you then that was a case he deserved.
Oh, Scott's getting some points back for Team Supergary there.
But I think that if I was Ron looking now, I probably think if re-signing Kovalainen for next year was a good idea, because looking at his performance in the recent last couple of races, I would have thought, is it time to get someone else to partner Lewis? But then on the other hand, you think, who else is there to partner Lewis? Because you know, you don't know anyone who would really be good enough, who could really take that kind of pressure against Lewis and also take the bias, well, the seemingly bias, to Lewis and the team.
Okie dokie. And moving, one more driver to discuss today. Flipster for Andrea Moda, DC. His career's coming to an end in one race's time. What do you make of him? And what do you make of the latter part of his career, and most notably this year, but also what he did last year? And basically, what do you make of the guy? What he's contributed to Formula One?
Well, I like the guy. Since he's gone to Red Bull, he's been a lot more honest. Especially when talking to Lou, it seems. There may be something going on there, but who knows? But, I mean, he's the highest scoring British driver in history. He's got more points than any other British driver. He's well into the 500s. He's won 13 races. He's driven alongside some of the best drivers in the world. He's raced against them as well. He was learning from Senna during his brief time at Williams. But over the last couple of years, it's definitely been time for him to retire. Maybe not from testing, though, because he does have all that knowledge of working with the other team. So Yeah, I think he is part of the reason why Red Bull and that have come forward.
Okay, same question then. Who did we have last time? We had put this one to Andy, because we spoke to Gavin recently. Andy, DC, his career, do you rate it?
Well, he's kind of always been a nearly guy, hasn't he? He's been number two to Häkkinen and very supportive driver in those years. And then he kind of got put out the pasture a bit. And although he's never really made a major impact, I think he's certainly got a good record of working with teams and helping them. You look at where Red Bull are now and where they were when he joined them. It's made a big difference, I think. So I'd be sad to see him go, but maybe there'll be less accidents.
Yeah,
like that one.
Yes.
Okay. All righty, then moving on from drivers then. Who have we got left? I'm going in a random order here. Let's try. For discussion, we have remaining Fota. Worthwhile or a complete and utter waste of time? Discuss Stephen Roy.
All good. I imagine it's going to be a complete and utter waste of time. And as far as I can see, the only difference between Fota and Foca is Ferrari are involved in this, and certainly isn't. And since Ferrari look like having the next president of the FIA and they're running Fota, what's going to be achieved by it? I think it's a complete and utter waste of time.
Nice one. Okay, let's have Gavin from Supergurry on the same question.
On Fota. Well, we've had this before. We've had the Foca, we've had Fisa, we've had God knows what else. All they're trying to do is going against the president of the FIA. In this case, it's Max Mosley. We all know what Max Mosley's like. He's pushing his own agenda. He's making the rules that he wants. And we're already having disagreement and split in the factions of the Fota, and it's going to come to nothing. And we're going to get yet again a set of rules where the teams are going to be in disagreement. They're not going to like it, and the fans are going to be peed off about it. So a waste of time.
Do you not think that Max might be slightly scared? Max and Bernie might be slightly scared by this arrangement, because rumor has it that they've now asked Fota to rename themselves due to the fact that Bernie owns the trademark to Formula One. And therefore, do you not think maybe their backs are against the wall and they have some fears?
Do you mean another threatened Grand Prix break-off championship? Is that what you're referring to?
No. What I'm saying is that Fota may have put the wind up Max and Bernie due to the fact that they've now... rumour has it they've filed some kind of writ against them for stealing the name Formula One.
Well, we wouldn't want to put the wind up Max Mosley too much. He might enjoy it. But, I don't know. Max Mosley is a funny character because he's done a lot of good and a lot of bad for the sport. I mean, it's Fota. I read an article on a website about Ferrari, Renault, and McLaren working together on the new aerodynamic rules, and they figured out that the changes they've made in the last 10 years have actually been detrimental to the sport in terms of overtaking, and that may have been Max Mosley pushing through these rules. So, I mean, Fota's got a good basis, but they're not going to come to anything, because at the end of the day, Max Mosley is just going to veto it and just say, this is what I want, this is what I think is good for the sport, all my cronies vote for me, I have all the power. So I just don't think it's going to work out. It's just going to be another paper tiger.
Okay, a paper tiger. I don't know that phrase. What does a paper tiger mean?
Growls off the page but has no teeth.
Ooh,
I think.
I like that. There must be a point in there for that one. Alrighty. That's pretty much. I have one more question, and we'll do something slightly different. We'll go through each and every one of you. I've got one question. And basically, this is a chance to make up all the points that you've lost thus far and to try and get yourself a number of bonus points. We're going to go in the order that I've got them written down. But what I've got is Sebastian Bourdais, reasons he should stay in Formula One for one more year, starting with Stephen Roy.
Well, I get to go first again.
Yeah.
I think he's done a reasonable job. It depends on how good people think Vettel is. If he is the real deal, then you have to say Bourdais looked pretty good against him. I think he's obviously got loads of experience to be good for developing a car, and especially if he stays with Toro Rosso, they're going to get the Red Bull chassis late. They're going to have to incorporate in the Ferrari engine to it, and they're going to do development then. And by the sounds of it, Ferrari are not going to have their care system ready until the start of the season, so they need people who can get in there and develop it. Obviously, DC will be there to do some of that, but you need a driver and a team who's able to do that. you also want to, you know, if they're looking at raising sponsorship, then there's a lot of potential sponsors in France that they could attract who really have had very little service in the past few years. When you look at, you know, the number of French drivers there used to be, I was reading this thing in Sport recently, where at one point in the early 80s, a quarter of the grid was French, and you people like Elf putting money in there who no longer do that.
Oh, I think the time is ticking down on you there, Stephen. The time, I think you may have been beaten by the clock in that one. Was that 2 points you got with that?
Yeah.
Very nice. Okay.
Very good point.
Same question then to Mr. Scott Woodward.
I think that he's just been. I think he had a. He's really. He's given, you know, Vettel as good as he's gotten when he's been on his day. I think that he's been terribly. He's had some terrible bad luck. I mean, he scored fourth place, in Australia, and now that was clearly taken away. He was on the second row at Monza, and that was clearly taken away because he had gearbox and stalled. Also,
he was
greatly successful in Champ Car, and I don't see why he couldn't carry over that success into Formula One, given a good car, and also on the right day, he could score some decent points to win a podium. And I think also one thing which I quite enjoy is that he's the only guy on the grid which wears glasses. Same as
hey. He's got another point with that one. Okay, Alex Andronov, same question to you.
I'm really annoyed about the glasses thing because I was about to say that. He is one of the only drivers that any American sports fan knows. And considering there is no North American races now, maybe that's a good thing. Still in the sport. What else? He is very charming and has nice hair.
Oh, for goodness sake. Same question to Gavin.
Okay, simple answer. Frank Montagny's happy in ALMS.
Are different colours on the side.
Hey, shut up, I'm talking. Sorry, Alex, I'm just kidding. I'll start again. Frank Montagny's happy in the ALMS, so Sebastian Bourdais has to stay in Formula One so Christine can keep the crush going.
Nice one. Good answer, sir.
No, but seriously, Sebastian Bourdais has had the worst luck all year. He's had the typical curse of he's come over from America, therefore he has to prove himself. He's a good driver. He won 3 years in a row in Champ Car against good drivers. He's in not the best team in the world. He's in a team where he has to have the right conditions to win a race. He was unlucky in Monza. He should have got second place there, but he stalled on the grid. He's got potential. He's young. He should be given another year because the current GP2 drivers, apart from Bruno Senna, maybe Lucas de Grassi, aren't that brilliant. So, you know, just stick with what you know and he's good.
Christine got so excited by the mention of Lucas de Grassi that she pressed the wrong button.
Oh,
we've forgotten about him. Gavin, you just got yourself a grand old hall of points with that one. Lucas de Grassi.
Yes.
Flipster, same question, then I can't say you're going to beat that one. Go on.
No, I've got no chance, really. I mean, four-time Champ Car champion. First year in Formula One. Traditionally, guys who have come over from America don't do well. He has, until you had the reliability of the car in the early races, and just the fact that everyone seems to take an attraction to hitting him. Which is a bit of a shame. I think even Coulthard had a go at him at one point, which no real surprise, really. You know, he's had 2 points finishes this year. Sadly, both very low down, but really he should be much higher up, you know, with Monaco and Monza, I think, were two, where he really should have scored some big points, but sadly, the car just wouldn't.
Nice one. Okay. And Andy, same question for you. You've got the hardest job because you're last, but I have noticed that people are helping out in the comments. And if you can read the comments at the same time, you may find some answers in there. So, Andy, on your marks, go.
Damn, I've not been reading the comments.
Kathy's been giving some great arguments, which I'm sure are going to score you a couple of points. Give it a shot anyway.
What I was going to say was going to say, you know, obviously there's the Christine thing going on there, but I'm not sure whether that's going to get me lose more points rather than gain them. But that's one reason. The glasses, that's a good reason. You know, people who wear glasses are important too. But really, I guess it's just to remind us all that even racing drivers need to cry sometimes.
Oh,
yeah, good.
That's unbeatable. Thank you, Andy. That's great. Alrighty.
We all shed a man tear when we saw him cry after Spa, didn't we?
I did. That's true. I am out of questions. Christine, do you have a scores?
Okay, I will.
Well, you just want to top the scores.
Why didn't you ask me the engine question? I had a brilliant answer for the engine question.
Go ahead. What have you got for the engine question?
Well, the question. Can you read the question again? Just because I couldn't remember the whole question, but I remember
the original
gist
question
of it.
Was, and it was something along because I haven't written this down, but it's something along the lines of the engine freeze.
Standard engines.
In Formula
One. The answer simply is the BRM H16, the Ferrari boxer engine, the Renault turbo engine. All these engines wouldn't have existed if they had a standard engine design. So if we have a standard engine design for the future, we're going to take away all the innovation like pneumatic valves, turbos, a whole lot. So I'm all for innovation. For Formula One's a pinnacle of motorsport. So no to standard engines.
There you go. I cannot argue with that at all. Nice one.
Right.
Okay, Christine's just going to
do
scores.
Some math.
Did you enjoy that? Did everyone enjoy that? Can we improve it?
That was fantastic. Yeah. I want to be on the panel again.
Yeah. I like Cassie's comment.
I don't care about the score or anything, but I just on the photo question.
I like Cassie's comment that Bodby has a lovely wife who looks like Christine.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I see. I tried to tell Andy it was there. I pointed him in the right direction. He didn't know it was there.
What was Alex going to say something?
Sorry, Alex. Yeah, carry on, Alex.
I was going to say about photo. I remembered I think it was like 3 months ago or when it first started up, I think somebody on Side Podcast, one of the two of you, said that the only thing that they would ever do would be to print their headed notepaper. And I love the fact that they may have only just printed the head of notepaper and then got the letter saying, sorry.
Oh, you have to change.
All those business cards out of the window. That's awesome.
Right, I have the final score.
Okay, go on.
With 26 points, it's Andrea Moda.
Okay.
And Super Aguri have 34.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's a whitewash.
Even after Gavin lost all of those points.
Yeah, he made them all back up again.
Yeah, but I gained them all back in this Sebastian Bourdais question, remember?
I love
yes.
it. Alrighty, guys. I think we're completely out, but thank you very much for coming on the panel. Next time we do this, we'd like to have someone else host the panel and make up the questions. So if anyone would volunteer to be the person basically doing what I'm doing.
Do I still get to judge?
Yeah, you still get to judge the score. You get to press the buttons because you are the judge and adjudicator. And you can also add it all up.
I can do maths.
I may want to be on the panel myself if somebody else wouldn't mind hosting it. So if anyone's up for hosting it next week, I think we can do it next week or we can do it after Brazil. We're looking to when we're going to do it next. If someone's up for hosting it, then do let us know in the comments. And thank you very much for joining us because that was awesome. And thank you for the patience in setting it up and for all your answers because we loved every answer we had. Thank you.